Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were there not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
A very good morning to each one of you. Appreciate those who are with us today. Appreciate those who are visiting with us. Now, at this time of year, we have people that are visiting friends and family and a lot of traveling going on, so we do pray that you will be blessed in your travels and enjoy your time with your friends and family, and we will definitely be thinking of you as you travel. Before we enter our lesson, let us go to God in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this time to gather in your name. We ask your blessing upon our service today. Ask your blessing upon the reading and teaching of your word. And each one of us, as we hear and listen, we pray that we will take these words and apply them to our lives and be doers of your word. And Father, we just thank you for the avenue of prayer that is made possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. We just thank you for him and him coming to this world and dying on the cross and being raised from the grave on our behalf, to take away our sin and give us that hope of eternal life. Father, we just pray that you continue to bless us as you have, and we thank you for all these favors and blessings. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I do want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving as we are thinking about that this week. And some little background on Thanksgiving, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but in 1611, the winter of 1610 was very harsh on the pilgrims who came over, the Puritans, and 406 came over and only 60 survived. So the following year, they prayed and asked for God for supplies and food. They thanked him. In 1621, another band of Puritans came over, 91 Native Americans, and what was left of the Puritans gathered together for the first, we might call, Thanksgiving. It was a difficult situation, but they offered thanks. In 1789, Washington called for a national day of Thanksgiving. And then it was Lincoln who established the last Thursday of November to be a day of Thanksgiving. And then Congress finally settled on the fourth Thursday in November as official day of Thanksgiving. I am thankful that we live in a country that has taken time to thank God for the blessings we have. It is not all, though, when we think about Thanksgiving, original with our country's history. In fact, as we read through the Old and New Testament, we see that there is this constant reminder to be thankful unto God. We might say it this way: Christianity is a religion of thanksgiving, or a thankful religion, as we think about the teachings and commands within. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 17. One of those examples where the Bible illustrates thankfulness is found in this passage in verses 11 through 19. Notice again what the reading was telling us in regards to being thankful. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. As we look at this text this morning, we need to remember and think about what's going on. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's passing along between the Samaritan and Galilee border. Now, if you look on the map that's on the screen behind me, you will see that there is a couple different routes that those who would travel from Jerusalem to Galilee would travel. And oftentimes, those who are Jewish would travel to the east of the Jordan because they wanted to avoid the Samaritans. And so we think about the Samaritans were looked down upon, and no good Jew would want to go by that route. But Jesus, it seems, takes a different route, the route that would go near Samaria. As he entered a village that is unnamed, we do not know what village it was, he encountered 10 lepers who stood at a distance. As we see Jesus contact these lepers, we need to understand a little bit about leprosy. Leprosy is a disease of the skin. Now, throughout the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, there was a number of different conditions, skin conditions that were entitled leprosy. But the one that we're talking about in this context is probably what is modern day people call Hansen's disease. And this is a disease where decomposed spots form on the skin. And actually what happens is the nerves in one's body die and they cannot feel anything. And so this is cause for the deformities in those who have this disease. Because if without nerves, you cannot feel if you touch something hot, such as a fire, or if you injure yourself by cutting something with a knife or slam your hand in a door or some other thing, and you don't feel that, and it causes it to basically rot off. It's definitely a tragic disease. But it was a disease also, as we see from the first century, even in the Old Testament, that was those who had such a disease were considered outcasts. You couldn't touch your husband and your wife or your children for that matter. You had to be excluded from society. And oftentimes these lepers would congregate in what we would call leper colonies or in groups where they could be able to associate with one another. By all means, you are an outcast. You were exposed to elements. You didn't have the security and protection of those who lived in town. You were definitely excluded. In other words, if you had leprosy, it was a death sentence. And so as we see the text, we see that there is this group who were shunned, excluded from society. We see as Jesus encountered them, they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. No doubt that they had heard about Jesus' miraculous gifts of healing people and cleansing the other lepers and raising people from the dead. Jesus' name had gone out through all the region, and definitely it seems that these individuals have heard of Jesus' abilities. Along with that, we see back in Leviticus 13 in the Old Testament when it talked about lepers, that one of the things that they were required to do is yell unclean. So by them making this mention, not only they're saying, asking for Jesus' mercy, but they're trying to warn and exclude people from coming near to them. In verse 14, we see that Jesus says, go show yourself to a priest. The priest, which was another requirement of the law in Leviticus 14, verses 1 through 2. It was required by the law of Moses to show themselves that they could be accepted back into society, back into the religious aspect of keeping the law, that they were able to be a part of a productive citizen. And so Jesus tells them to go and be cleansed. It's interesting as you observe this passage that Jesus doesn't touch them. He doesn't tell them to do something extraordinary like go wash in a pool or something along that lines. He speaks the word and tells them to go to the priest. And then as we see in verses 15 and 16, they head towards the priest, but one comes back. One of them, he saw that he was healed and turned back, verse 15 and 16 tells us, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. The 10 men had faith that Jesus could help them, that they could be healed by him. And he was there was only one who believed that Jesus was worthy to be thanked. And he comes back. And he was a Samaritan. The Samaritan, as already indicated, was separate from the Jews. They were excluded, in fact, even by the routes that were traveled in the first century. And as you look at this passage, you see that the Samaritan would have been the most unlikely person to say, thank you. See, in the Jews' mind, the Samaritans were a very despised half-breed of Jews. Over in John 4 and verse 9, we see the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. That is definitely the case. And of all the people you would think that would say thank you, the last person you would think would be a Samaritan. Yeah, oftentimes throughout the scriptures, particularly in the gospels, any time that we see the unlikely person saying thank you or doing an act of kindness or love is one that you would least expect. Interesting enough, Jesus often used a Samaritan to identify the most unlikely person. Whether you're talking about the woman at the well in John 4, or you're talking about the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, oftentimes the one you least expect is the one that gives God a glory. And God uses these individuals throughout the scripture to explain and show an example of a righteous heart. So there is something different about the Samaritan that society had looked down upon, but there was something different. Now notice again in Luke 17, verse 17 through 19, Jesus answered and said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise you and go your way. Your faith has made you well. As we read this passage, it seems there is a sense of sadness that dominates Jesus' questioning here. Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the other 9? But the 9 of them never even said thank you. Only 1 out of 10 said thank you. He was a Samaritan, the one you least expect. You know, as we think about this text, as we think about even our day and time, can't people be ungrateful? Haven't you encountered ungratefulness in your life? Years ago, there's a story told of a man, and there was a storm in Lake Michigan. They were on a steamboat as they were traveling, and it was rammed by another boat, the story goes. The steamboat just sank about a mile offshore, and it was near Illinois. Out of 393 passengers aboard, 279 drowned. A man named Edward Spencer, after seeing the situation unfold, plunged into the lake and swam to the drowning people. He told one to shore and went back for another. In all, he brought 17 people to safety. However, the strain on this young man caused him to collapse. The nerves in his legs were so completely destroyed that he could never walk again. He was an invalid in a wheelchair for the entire life. And on his 18th birthday, someone asked him to relate his most vivid memory of that dreadful day. He replied this: not one of the 17 returned a simple thank you to him. Ungrateful. He rescued over 17 people's lives, and not one of them said thank you. Can you imagine how the Lord felt? Could you imagine how he felt when 9 lepers who had a death sentence, a disease that was incurable, that doctors' techniques and medicines could not even attempt to cure or take care of. And here is Jesus, by speaking just the words, cleanses these men. And they never said, thank you. We could probably apply and think of all the times when Jesus has done many different things and how many have said thank you. We think about when Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. Have we said thank you? We think about Jesus raising from the grave to give us that hope and that power over the grave. Have we said thank you? We think about answered prayers and so many other things that our Lord has done. have we said thank you? If this text tells us anything, it reminds us to be a people of thanksgiving. See, the healing of the ten is a reminder that God does a great work in our life, that we should have the faith to say thank you. All these men had faith. All these men believed that Jesus could heal them, but yet only one believed enough to say thank you. The point made here, it seems, is that unless gratitude or ungratitude is a part of our nature, we become incomplete. If we have an ungrateful heart, there is something missing. Notice as this one who returns back to Jesus, notice he says something else to him. Your faith has made you well. The Samaritan leper came back praising God, yet he still had enormous problems. As he comes back to Jesus, this leper who was healed still would have to face a life with no family. Where is his family? This man who had been an outcast for so long has no job. How is he going to take care of himself? How is he going to provide shelter? He can't go back to the leper colony. He can't go back to a home. Where is his home? Where is his village? So many unanswered questions, so many concerns that this healing puts this man in a different situation that you and I would probably say, well, those are great problems. Where is his meals going to come from? Where is he going to sleep at night? And yet, in the midst of his problems, amidst of these unsolved issues, he thanks Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us in many places to give thanks. It doesn't tell us that we need to get everything right in our life, or that we need to have the right job or the right house or the right anything else. It reminds us that in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our situations, to be thankful. And Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18, it reminds us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then a passage in Romans 8:28, it reminds us that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. We're reminded that God works, and God is working in our world. Despite the problems that you and I may face, despite the problems that you and I face when doing his will, we are reminded to continue to be thankful. See, each one of us have problems right now. Each one of us are facing great dilemmas. Nobody is living in a problem-free world. Nobody's living in a problem-free family or a problem-free job or a problem-free school. We all have problems. But despite our problems we may face, we see an example from here in our text that this one man thanked God anyway. Even our present problems, we need to be thankful despite what we're facing. As we look at this text, I believe the great challenge of this text is, let's be like that Samaritan. Let's be that man who nobody else expected to say thank you. Despite his circumstances and his situation, he said thank you. And the Samaritan not only brought joy to Christ's heart, but he received salvation from his hand. Your faith has saved you. You know, when God answers our prayers, and he has, may we say thank you. You know, by contrast, those men who had every reason to thank you, say thank you to Jesus, some of them didn't. And so sometimes God blesses us, and we need to be reminded to say thank you. Again, our lives are not problem-free. We think about that first Thanksgiving, as I mentioned earlier. The great death toll of the pilgrims, the sacrifices, the cold, the dangers, and all the things they faced, and yet they took time out of their lives to say thank you to God. See, the Lord is the source of all thanksgiving. He's the reason we receive the multitude of blessings we do. In Philippians 4 and 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, it always goes back to God. It always goes back to us recognizing what God has done and is doing in our world and in our life. There's a story told about Alex Haley, the author of Roots. He had an unusual picture hanging on his office. It was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. When asked, why is that there? Alex Haley answered, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on the top of the fence post and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help. And that's really the basis of thanksgiving and thankfulness. To remember that we got here not on our own. That someone helped us, and that someone is ultimately God. He is the provider of all the blessings. He is the one that healed the leper, and he is the one that was given thanks. Let's be like that person. Let's be like that Samaritan that says, thank you. Oh, God may not heal us of leprosy, but think of the things he has done for us. Think about the blessing he has taken care of in our lives. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave so we can have forgiveness of our sins and live with him eternity. That's something to be thankful for. God the Father, who so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. That is something to be thankful for. The Holy Spirit, who teaches us and convicts us and dwells in us and helps us as Christians, let's say thank you to that. We have this Word, the Holy Bible, that guides us and teaches us in all ways of righteousness. That is something to be thankful for. And for the church that Jesus bled and died and was sacrificed for, that gives us that gathering of fellowship and encouragement, a community of believers to help us on our way to heaven, that is something to be thankful for. And God gives us food to eat and shelter and clothing and drink for our thirst. That's something to be thankful for. You know, God is always doing things to help us. And sometimes they're the little things that we often overlook. Do we realize it? Do we thank him? Have you ever thought about those little things? Maybe it's a day off, or maybe it's a stroll along the beach, or a view from a mountaintop. Or maybe it's those little things in life that brings us joy each and every day that helps us deal with those problems we're facing. That for just a moment we had a little relief. Maybe it was a friend who listened, or maybe it was an encouraging note. But whatever it is, may we say thank you. Maybe be thankful for those family and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ who are there for us. May we say thank you. People need to hear they are appreciated. People need to hear that their service matters. People need to hear that their lives count. And so we're reminded, as the Samaritan goes back to Jesus, to say thank you. Thank you. Now, you and I can express thank you in a number of ways. We might need to write it down on a note and share it with someone. We might call them on a phone or tell them how much they appreciated. We might need to send a text or some other social media and give them a message and remind them that what they did was real and meaningful. And maybe we just need to go to them face to face and the Samaritan and just say thank you. Well, however you do it, and however the means you do it, let's be that one out of 10, and let's say thank you. For all the blessings that God has given us, let's say thank you. For all the people that have encouraged us and helped us, let's say thank you. Finally, in Colossians 3 and verse 15, it reminds us to keep on becoming thankful. In the Greek language, it's continuing there to carry the idea that we need to continue to be thankful. See, being thankful was not something we do just once a year or even once a day. But for the Christian, thanksgiving and being thankful comes out of the fruit of our hearts. It comes from living a peaceful life in Christ and allowing him to rule our lives, to dominate our lives. And so we are a people that are known to be thankful. That's why I said in the beginning of the lesson that Christianity is a religion of thanksgiving. Because the people that are known as Christians throughout the Bible were known as a thankful people. I hope that as we think about Thanksgiving this week, as we are gathering all our friends and our family, as we gather to eat and do whatever we may do, may we be reminded to be thankful. May we also not just be thankful on that day, but may we listen to the commands, the example, and teachings throughout the Bible, and let's be that one person that says, thank you. Let's be like this Samaritan, the one you don't expect, the one that you least think of, that says, thank you. Let's be that one person each and every day that says, thank you. This morning we offer an invitation from Jesus Christ to become a part of his family. As we think about what Jesus did by dying on the cross and being raised from the grave, the greatest act of service and love that has ever been offered to humans, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And so it is today that maybe you're outside of Christ. We would like to invite you to come in. And maybe you're here and you've already obeyed the gospel. You've become a Christian, but for some reason you've gone back into the world. Will you repent and come and renew that relationship maybe today? You know, I believe the greatest way we can say thank you is becoming a Christian. And second, like it, is continuing to be a Christian, to show our appreciation and love for our Lord each and every day of our life. So if you're here today and need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as we stand.